We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, it's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Out of all the songs the Rolling Stones have, that one stands out. That's at the top of the heap for great Rolling Stones songs. Sympathy for the Devil. And did you know that when Guns N' Roses covered that song, that was the end of Guns N' Roses as everybody knew them? It was 1994. And they were coming off the massively successful Use Your Illusion albums, 1 and 2. And they were asked to cover that song. Or they were asked for a song for the movie soundtrack for the movie Interview with the Vampire. And so they were together for a couple of years straight touring. They were really, some of them, they were really, really messed up. Slash and Duff. Izzy had left the band already, and they had kicked out Steven Adler, the drummer, because he couldn't stop doing heroin and couldn't play properly. And the ones who were left, they were just so messed up. And after being together for touring for a couple of years, they didn't want to look at each other. Then they had to go into the studio to record their version of Sympathy for the Devil. And Axl Rose wanted to bring in one of his childhood friends from Indiana to record one of the guitar parts. And Slash and Duff were like, what? No, he's not in the band. And wouldn't you know, Axl did it anyways. And that pissed off Slash so much. And after that, that was it. Axl Rose and Slash said they couldn't work together anymore, and then Duff said I'm out too, and that was it. But that was right there, and Slash has said on record, if you want to know the problems with Guns N' Roses, just listen to our version of Sympathy for Destruction. I mean Slash hates it. Sympathy for the Devil. Slash hates it. And he said that recording was the final nail in the Guns N' Roses coffin. And he goes, that's a perfect representation. If you want to know what was wrong with Guns N' Roses, why we broke up, why we couldn't work together anymore, just listen to our version of Sympathy for the Devil.
So when the original Rolling Stones Sympathy for the Devil was released, what was the climate like? I think that was before my time.
That came out in 1968, Coleman.
All right.
on their great album, Beggar's Banquet.
All right. Because every time I hear Sympathy for the Devil, it's always in the scene of Vietnam in any movie. It seems like any movie that has something to do with Vietnam, there is Sympathy for the Devil playing somewhere, either in the background or somewhere when they're coming home or somewhere in the helicopter chopper. Every movie I've seen about Vietnam has Sympathy for the Devil in it. And I want to know, like, what was the climate? Why is that song so synonymous with Sympathy for the Devil with Vietnam War? Do you have
Well, because it came out in 1968.
All right.
And that's that was the height. I mean, the Vietnam War. And, you know, much like the Doors song, The End, you know, for some people, you hear that song and you think that Sympathy for the Devil, that's when it was released.
Ah, all right.
Anyways, I just said, you know, the Guns N' Roses version, I mean, it's okay, but it's not their best cover. And that wasn't even on their cover album. You know, Guns N' Roses, they did an entire album of cover songs back in the day called The Spaghetti Incident, which a lot of people didn't like. I actually love that album. Guns N' Roses, especially at their height, they're one of my favorite bands ever. And they for a few years there, they were undoubtedly the biggest band in the world. They were the biggest rock band in the world. For a few years, and their singer Axl Rose, he was the one that it all went to his head. He became a completely different person, and the rest of the guys in that band, Slash and Duff, told you Izzy already split. He couldn't deal with Axl Rose anymore. He couldn't deal with it, and they kicked out the drummer Steven Adler for doing too many drugs, which is a punchline to a joke. Because they were all so messed up back in the day. And if they were all so messed up and one of them got kicked out for doing too many drugs, that must have been seriously a problem, because you're getting kicked out of Guns N' Roses, a band that does all of them. They go to the extreme with everything, including drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be. And Steven Adler got kicked out of Guns N' Roses for doing too many drugs. It must have been really bad with him. It was. He couldn't play. He was nodding off during practices, not during gigs. I mean, he was a heroin nodding off. And so, but the Slash and Duff and they sure, they all became multi-millionaires, but they kept their heads. Axl Rose was the one that couldn't, they made it so big. He just went to another level, and he's the one who ruined Guns N' Roses, and then it took them, 27 years to release The Chinese Democracy, but now before COVID, the last few years, those three, Axl, Slash, and Duff, got back together again with a couple of other players, and they toured. I mean, they were here for City Park when they played. That Halloween a couple of years ago, we were over there. That was a lot of fun. And they're going to be touring again once bands can go out and play again with the three original members. All right. Hey, coming up on the show, we've got a lot to do today, including, have you seen some of the Instagram pictures that actress Selma Hayek puts out? Coleman, have you seen any of those? I mean, her breasts are absolutely unbelievable. She looks incredible. And she is getting a new television show where her breasts talk to her.
I mean, they speak to me, so I guess it would make sense to make a television show about it.
You're not the only one they speak to. Coming up, we'll tell you about that, how actress Selma Hayek and her breasts will be talking to each other on a new TV show. We'll give you all the details on that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. New Orleans Morning Radio Show. Yesterday, the governor of Louisiana, John Taco Bell Edwards, had a press conference. And he said that starting Monday, 3 days from now, everyone in the state of Louisiana who is 65 years old and older will be able to go get a vaccine shot for coronavirus. Starting on Monday. It was 70 and over, but he moved it down 5 years. I guess we're going to have enough vaccination shots to give to people. So he moved it down to age 65 and over. So that's the next step. That's the next place we're at. Because the first step was that the healthcare workers, people who were already sick, and now when it comes to the list of the most vulnerable people, when it comes to coronavirus, older people are next. So starting on Monday, everyone who is age 65 and over can go and get their free coronavirus vaccination shot. Here in Louisiana, over the last couple of weeks, there have been some people who were going into Mississippi, crossing the state line to get their coronavirus vaccine shot. And the authorities in Mississippi, not happy about that. And they were telling people, look, if you don't live in Mississippi, don't come here for a coronavirus shot. And we've noticed over the last couple of weeks, over the last few weeks, that there have been people doing things that they're not supposed to do to get the coronavirus vaccine, just like that. I mean, the some people couldn't get it here in Louisiana. It was more readily available in Mississippi, so they were just getting in the car and driving over there and getting it. But we have also seen, people go into different neighborhoods to get the coronavirus vaccine in different states. They said they were seeing richer people go into poor neighborhoods, neighborhoods they never go into because they're rich people in their poor neighborhoods. But that's where they were able to get a coronavirus vaccination shot. We've been seeing that. We've been seeing people cut the line. We did the story the other day on the show about that woman who up in New York, who works with some very famous people on something called the Soul Cycle, and she helps keep them in shape. She was able in New York to get a coronavirus shot, and then she went on her own social media and said, hey, I got my shot. Look out. And then people started questioning her. Wait a minute, you're not old. You're not sick. How are you getting the shot when most people can't get the shot? And then she said, Well, I'm an instructor. I'm a teacher. No, no, no. You're not a teacher. Teachers go into classrooms with kids, with students. This woman instructed people, including some multimillionaire celebrities, how to stay in shape riding a soul cycle. And some people were like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's why I think she found a legal loophole, because technically a teacher is anybody who teaches anybody anything. An instructor can be a teacher. A coach can be a teacher. I know we meant teachers who teach students in classrooms.
Yes.
But they should have specified that language, because technically she is a teacher. She's an instructor. She teaches people stuff, just like a coach, just like a sensei, just like a professor. They're all teachers in some way, shape, or form.
No, but the coronavirus shot, the vaccine, Coleman, is for teachers who have to go into classrooms, into schools to teach our children. And those are the teachers that should be getting the coronavirus shot, not that woman. But it was amazing what happened, because after she thinks she's doing something good after she cheated her way to getting a coronavirus shot by putting it on her social media saying, hey, everybody, look at me. I got my coronavirus shot. Well, the public, it was one message after another telling her, who do you think you are? Cutting in front of sick people, cutting in front of old people. You're not a teacher, blah, 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 blah. And then once the outrage happened on social media, she had to publicly apologize. And then I think she removed herself from Instagram, from social media. And I always get a kick out of that, how when people have a big social media following, whether it's because they're celebrities, they're actors, whatever the case may be, and then they do something stupid on social media, or someone close to them does something stupid, then they get called out. We did the story on Alec Baldwin, the actor, who got called out on social media because his wife lied about her upbringing. Yeah, she said her name is Hilaria. She said that she's from Spain, but really her name is Hillary, and she's from Boston. I mean, she was even talking with a fake Spanish accent, and people called out Alec Baldwin about his wife, and it got so vicious, and he was just tired of hearing from it and hearing about it, that he just got off of Twitter for a while. That's funny when they can't handle what. Being called out, for being idiots or doing stupid things, all they do is they just remove themselves from social media so they don't have to see it, deal with it, hear about it anymore.
You know, it's funny how we always say it seems like there's two different Americas, or there's two different worlds that people live in. Like you hear on the news how people, they're rushing to take the vaccine. They're afraid that they're cutting in line. They're saying they're not who they really are. They don't really live where they really live. Whereas in my personal circles, the people I know, they're not in a rush to take the vaccine. They're skeptical of it. I know people in the medical field, they're saying, look, I want to wait a while and see if there's any side effects. There's some people that say the vaccine is too rushed, and some people just don't want to take it because they feel like, I don't need to. I'm, immune and this, that, and other. I don't believe in a vaccine.
Well, Coleman, you're a black guy from New Orleans.
They're not black people. I'm just talking about people I know personally.
But I'm telling you, one of the biggest categories.
Mm-hmm.
Of people in America who don't want to take it are black people.
Think so?
Absolutely.
Because I know a lot of our listeners say they don't want to take it either.
I know a lot of our listeners say they don't want to take it. But a lot of black people don't want to take it. I've seen black nurses who work in hospitals interviewed saying that they don't want to take it. And she said, well, because it was too rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that when you look at demographics, they're saying that a lot of black people in the United States, they don't want to take it.
Well, I do remember there was a campaign where it took like politicians and athletes, and they say, hey, look, if we can take the vaccine, you can too, or whatever. But it just, the point was how there's two different views of the vaccine. There are people who can't wait to take it. They feel like they need to take it now. Was taking it so long? Was taking the rollout so long? Why can't they get it out to people? And there's the other ones that saying, hey, we don't even want to take it. You're going to have to like strap me down and force me to take this vaccine.
Yeah, and the quote-unquote experts in our country when it comes to coronavirus, say they're going to need about 80, 85% of Americans to take it to get the herd immunity. And I don't know if we're going to get to that number because there's a lot of Americans that just don't want to take it. Don't want to take it. All right. So anyway, starting Monday, everybody in Louisiana who is 65 years old and older can start. They can go and they can get the coronavirus vaccine. That's the step we're at right now. Coming up on the show, there's another old, many people call classic movie that's being called out for being inappropriate by the new generation of people. And also, the actress Selma Hayek, she keeps posting these incredible pictures of herself in different bikinis on her Instagram. Even though she's getting older, she looks fantastic. And she's starring in a new television show coming up where her breasts talk to her. And that makes sense if you've seen these bikini pictures of her. Stay tuned for those reports. And did you hear what Tom Brady said and did to one of his teammates after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the NFC Championship to advance to the Super Bowl? One of his teammates cried because he was so happy he was finally going to a Super Bowl. Brady was not happy about those tears. We'll tell you what he said and did. Stay tuned for those reports coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Yesterday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell had his State of the League announcements that he does every year, a few days before the Super Bowl. And Roger Goodell said that his goal for the league is to get better, but he stopped short of resigning. And did you know that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's annual salary is $40 million? That's what he makes. $40 million a year. This may seem excessive, but it's hard work destroying such a popular sport. Hey, coming up on the show, I will tell you what Tom Brady said to one of his Tampa Bay teammates after they won the NFC Championship game. And that teammate was crying because that teammate was so happy to get to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady was not happy when he saw that teammate crying. I'll tell you what he said to him coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Actress Selma Hayek has been making some news because she keeps posting pictures of herself in different bikinis.
She's a babe.
She looks fantastic on her social media, I believe on her Instagram. And it doesn't seem to matter how old she gets. She still looks absolutely fantastic. Some people were slagging her, saying, hey, Selma, what are you doing? And she says, look, when it comes to taking pictures of my body and me, she says, I have no shame.
Why should she, though?
There's nothing to be ashamed of.
And why do people feel like she should have shame?
Some people, Coleman, think that women who take lots of selfies, post lots of pictures of themselves on social media, that's not very cool, that they should maybe be doing other things instead of saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me.
I don't get people that have a problem with people sharing their bodies on Instagram, because it's like, what is Selma Hayek doing in a bikini on Instagram that's stopping you from getting your bills paid or stopping you from making it? She just literally ain't doing nothing that's going to stop your life, so just let her live her life, you live yours.
And usually the people that complain about very attractive women posting pictures of themselves scantily clad on social media, usually those people who complain about things like that, they're not really able to post pictures of themselves like that on social media because they don't look very good.
Ah, that makes sense.
That's now there are, I bet you there are some, women who are hot that might be saying, hey, Selma Hayek, what are you doing? But like I've always said, when it comes to social media, people can put whatever they want on their Instagram, on their Facebook page, on their Twitter. People could put whatever they want. And if you don't like it, just either continue to scroll down or stop following that person. But to call out people, especially someone who looks as great as Selma Hayek, to anybody calling her out, saying, what are you doing? Well, anyways, she's got a new television show coming out where her boobs talk to her.
Yes.
How about that? Selma Hayek and her boobs, her breasts, are getting their own television show. They're taking on a new project on the network HBO Max.
Oh, then it's HBO, so some skin can be involved.
That's what channel it's on.
Hell yes.
It's going to be a comedy.
Doesn't matter.
Where a 40-year-old woman's boobs talk to her. Let me ask you something right now, Coleman. Mm-hmm. And especially looking at Selma Hayek's boobs. What would their voice sound like?
That's what I'm wondering.
Would they have a deep voice like me? Or would they have a higher voice? Would you have a manly on the Selma? I'm your left boob talking to you right now. Selma, I'm your right boob talking to you right now. Would they have different voices?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking each boob is going to have its own distinct voice, and each boob is going to compete with each other over Selma Hayek's decision. So she'll be in a situation, and the right boob would be like, "You shouldn't do this," and the left boob would be like, "You know, you definitely should do this." And who would the voice actors be like? Who do you picture as each boob? Like the left boob could be like Morgan Freeman, and the right boob could be, I don't know, who has an awesome voice? James Earl Jones or something like
sure,
that?
Sure, James Earl Jones has a great voice.
He could be right boob. Imagine auditioning for that spot. Would you like to be Selma Hayek's right boob? Then you have to go audition to be Selma Hayek's right boob and read the script. Hi, I'm Selma's right boob. You shouldn't drink that coffee. It's too expensive or something. Read the line.
This new television show, the series, is an adaptation of the novel A Boob's Life, How America's Obsession Shaped Me and You, by a woman named Leslie Lear. And it's going to be released March 2nd. It is now available for pre-order.
Hey!
On HBO Max. I could see a bunch of people, men, I could see a bunch of guys willing to shell out a few bucks to see a new TV show where Selma Hayek's boobs talk to her. And I'm just, again, I want to know what their voices are going to be like. Could you imagine if one of the boobs stuttered or had Tourette's? I mean, could you imagine? Could you
imagine Joe Pesci being one of the boobs?
Swearing all the time? You stupid mother...
Samuel Jackson and Joe Pesci would be perfect, left and right boob.
The half-hour comedy is about a woman named Leslie, because that's the woman who wrote the novel. Leslie finds herself in a crisis ahead of her 40th birthday. Her life gets turned upside down when her boobs start talking to her, forcing her to look at herself in a completely different light.
Let's take time to appreciate how good Selma Hayek looks. Think about this. You know, usually when there's a movie or a TV show about high school kids, they get adults to play the high school kid. Here's Selma Hayek at 51 playing a character that's 39, about to be 40. That's how good she looks. At 51, she passes for a 39-year-old about to be 40. That is amazing.
Yeah. This is what Selma Hayek says, quote, "We are so appreciative that HBO Max was insightful and bold enough to develop this show with us.
And so am I.
In A Boob's Life, we use breasts as a metaphor for the constant judgment women are submitted to, creating a collective sensation that no matter what we do, We are never enough. In this show, we give the breast a voice that takes us through the life of a woman from a unique perspective that often we don't dare to see.
I would like to see. I mean, what is she saying? I would like to see anything a boob has to offer. Speak your mind, boob. Speak your truth.
And then I guess they asked her about her sharing a lot of her bikini pictures on her Instagram lately. And she said, quote, "I had to lose a lot of weight and exercise to get into the bikini toward the end of last year. I'm glad I took a lot of pictures. I have no shame on it because it was the first week of the vacation." So there's something to look forward to. Selma Hayek's boobs are getting their own TV show, sort of. And I think she's not playing the main character. Her boobs are what's starring in this.
Every movie Selma Hayek.
So I don't know if we're going to actually see Selma Hayek outside of her boobs. I think we're only going to see Selma Hayek's boobs in this television show.
John, every movie Selma Hayek is in, the boobs are the main character.
Yeah, that's a...
Well, this text says Sam Kinison should be the voice of one of the boobs.
Or at Sam's been gone a long time. At least someone that sounds like him. Maybe have one of the boobs screaming at the other boob like Sam Kinison does. Yeah. Thanks for the text. So something to look forward to, a new show starring Selma Hayek's boobs. Her boobs are going to be talking in a new show on HBO Max called A Boob's Life, How America's Obsession Shaped Me and You. And finally, a television show I'm really, really, really excited to see.
I'm already on it right now. I'm subscribing to HBO Max as we speak.
Hey, coming up next on the show, an old movie which many call classic is now being shamed by the new generation of movie watchers, like they shame and they put down so many other old classic movies as either racist or sexist. They do that with TV shows as well. Wait till you hear this movie they're going after. And there's a bunch of people who aren't happy with Kansas City Chiefs football fans for something that they do. We will explain. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. If you're just joining us, we were talking about a new television show that's going to be on HBO Max. And it's starring Selma Hayek's boobs. Her boobs are getting their own television show in a show called A Boob's Life, How America's Obsession Shaped Me and You. It's starting on March 2nd, but it's now available for pre-order. And I think that's something that's going to do pretty well.
It should. It should do very well.
I think it's going to be her voice is the voice of her boobs. Although I think it would be better if it was Samuel L. Jackson. I think if Samuel L. Jackson was the voice of her boobs, I think it would be a more entertaining show. We just put that on the Bayou Facebook page, and I asked, who would you like to hear as the voice of Selma Hayek's boobs on this new television show that's starting?
Somebody says Cassandra Peterson and Bob Uecker. Is that pronounced Uecker?
Oh, Bob Uecker.
Yeah, Bob Uecker and Cassandra Peterson.
I don't know who Cassandra Peterson is, but Bob Uecker, now that would be funny. The old baseball player who did the Miller Lite commercials. Yeah. And he was the play-by-play man in the great movie Major League. Bob Uecker would be a good voice for... You know, I wish I got that gig.
Your agent didn't inform you that they was having auditions for Selma Hayek's boob voices?
I would love to be the voice of Selma Hayek's boobs in her new television show. Well, her boobs' new television show, A Boob's Life, How America's Obsession Shaped Me and You.
Well, we should do a read. You be the left boob, I'll be the right boob, and we could send the read over to the Selma Hayek's people. Maybe we could get the gig. We could be the boobs.
Yeah, like walking down the street, and I look over at you, and... Man, look at that guy over there staring.
Hey, man,
look at something else. You keep staring at me.
My eyes are up there.
Yeah. They say some people, they talk about their dream job. Boy, being the voice of Selma Hayek's boobs in the new TV show, that would be up at the top of my list of dream jobs.
It's not a tumor.
Mm. Yeah, and you could text us as well if you'd like. 504-260-9595. Who do you think? Who would you like to hear? Whose voice would you like to hear as Selma Hayek's boobs in that new TV show? Hey, we've been talking about the new district attorney in Orleans Parish, Jason Williams, how he's got a big federal trial coming up. No, he's not directing the trial. He is the trial himself because he's been indicted on an 11-count federal indictment for being a tax fraud, for him being a tax cheat. And his trial is going to come up in the near future. And when it does, and when he's found guilty, he's going to lose the job that he was just elected for, the district attorney of Orleans Parish. Because most people who are federally indicted, I think it's over 90% who are convicted. Because when you're federally indicted, we've talked about this before on the show, they've already done all of the investigating, and they've got stuff on you. That's why they came. That's why they're indicting you. That's why they put it in front of a federal grand jury, and the federal grand jury said, "Oh yeah, there's enough here to send this one to trial." But Jason Williams, is it the only one in his trial who was indicted? Because he's a lawyer, and his law partner has also been indicted with him. Her name is Nicole Burdett, and she's going to have to stand trial as well. They're saying she did the same thing. And what the feds are saying that they did was they said they didn't report a lot of their income, so they wouldn't have to pay as much in federal income tax. The reason I just brought that up now is because there's a new twist to that story, Coleman. A guy I know who works at one of the local TV stations here, WDSU Channel 6, their investigative reporter, Travers Mackle, he of the Flying Mackle triplets. I know there's only Mackle twins. People only see Travers, who does the investigative reporting, and his brother Fletcher, who was a sports reporter for WDSU. But I always heard a rumor that there was a triplet. There was a third Mackle, but he didn't turn out as well as the other two. I don't want to say he's a little bit slow, but they keep him stashed away somewhere. But Travers Mackle had a report that he just did that just aired yesterday, and it's on their website, WDSU, about how Jason Williams, the new district attorney of Orleans Parish, his law partner, his co-defendant, who's also being tried for being a tax fraud, Nicole Burdett, she's saying she's indigent, and the taxpayers of New Orleans, the taxpayers of Orleans Parish, have to pay for her legal representation in that trial.
Hmm.
And what's interesting is, Coleman, she's got a lawyer who she was paying, but evidently she's said that she doesn't have enough money to pay anymore. So the same lawyer is going to continue to represent her, but she's not going to be paying him anymore. The taxpayers of Orleans Parish are going to be paying for her attorney. How much does that stink? I mean, we already know Orleans Parish is broke. I mean, it was broke before coronavirus shut down so many businesses that now aren't able to pay taxes to Orleans Parish.
She should have hired Jason Williams as a lawyer. Oh, wait.
Yeah, he can't represent himself.
Well, no, he can't represent her, can't he?
Wouldn't that be something?
I'm thinking if you're a lawyer, you should represent me, dude.
But she had this lawyer who she was paying, because there's been a couple of indictments, and her lawyer who she's been paying, and you know, these lawyers, they make $200-$300 an hour, whatever they make. Her lawyer in her first case against her, his name is Michael Magner, and he's got another lawyer that she's was representing her, Avery Pardee. Those two guys have been paid by her to represent her dealing with her first federal indictment here. But now that the trial's coming up, and again, it's an 11-count indictment. That evidently, she says she can't afford to keep paying these lawyers. So then what happens is, and this happens in everywhere in the American legal system, if you can't afford a lawyer, the parish or the city or the state who's ever trying you will provide one for you. Because how many times do we see people get arrested? They're poor people. They can't afford lawyers, and they get public defenders because they can't afford them. Well, that's what she's getting in this case. But the public defenders are the same two guys, her same two lawyers, who she was paying. They're both on the panel of private attorneys who regularly accept appointed cases in federal court. And so but now they're going to be paid for by the very broke Orleans Parish, the taxpayers here in New Orleans, in Orleans Parish.
Well, you get what you pay for, right?
That stinks. And these lawyers, Michael Magner and Avery Pardee, are saying, well, you know, a lot of people think lawyers are rich just because they're lawyers, but that's not always the case. And, you know, she's a mother of three, and she's already had to pay for lawyers for one of these federal things. Now she can't afford it anymore. And so
my only gripe is this. If the taxpayers are now paying for her lawyers, shouldn't they say, well, we only want you to have one instead of paying for both of them? Like, she hired both of them. I get that. But now that she's not paying for it anymore, it should be up to the taxpayers to say, well, since we're not going to pay for both of them, you have to pick one, or we should pick one for you. If we're going to pay for it, we should have.
Well, maybe they work together, these two guys, and they split the money, whatever. They're not paying. I mean, they pay a certain amount of money, and then these two guys split it instead of each paying each of them full lawyer wages. But I think it stinks. This parish is broke. I mean, they can't afford to pay firemen. And they had to take some firemen off the job. And then a house burnt down. Remember that?
Yep.
And because they said we didn't have enough firemen, if we had the normal amount of firemen, they would have gotten here 5 minutes faster, and they would have maybe saved the house. I mean, we can't afford to pay firemen. We can't afford to pay cops. Yet we can afford to pay, because I live in Orleans Parish. I live in New Orleans. So the taxpayers here, we can afford to pay for the district attorneys, law partners, lawyers, because her and the district attorney have been federally indicted for being tax frauds and tax cheats.
You never know. The lawyers may never get their money if the city's that broke. They might be working pro bono and we don't know it.
I think it stinks. We're broke and we got to pay for this. Well, anyway, stay tuned, because when that trial comes, that new district attorney, Jason Williams, goes. He's not going to be on this job very long, and he's tried everything, which we've reported on this show, to try to get this case thrown out. He's played the race card not once, but twice, saying he needs to get more black jurors, you know, because he's black. She's white, by the way. I don't know if the jury that he's looking for would help her as much as it would help him, but he's tried getting this thrown out twice because of that, and both times judges have said no. So stay tuned for when that trial comes up, and more news coming out of the upcoming district attorney of Orleans Parish being a tax fraud trial here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. According to a new survey I just saw, 73% of women would rather watch the Super Bowl than have sex. Who are these women? Where are these women? They would rather watch the Super Bowl than do sex? You know, I would say, well, what about halftime? But there's a lot of people that want to watch the Super Bowl halftime show because that's always a big deal. I say, well, what about, we need a couple minutes. What about during the commercial breaks? Well, there's a lot of people that watch the Super Bowl just to watch the commercials. They want to watch the commercial breaks. Well, what about the pregame? There's usually 6 or 7 hours of pregame show on Sunday before the Super Bowl. Can we do it then? But I couldn't believe this. 73% of women said in this survey I just looked at would rather watch the Super Bowl than do sex.
You know, I realize a lot of women would like to do anything other than have sex most of the time. And then, of course, after the big game, they have a headache.
Would you say that's the older they get?
I think the number
gets higher?
No, I think it kind of depends on their partner, how big they get.
Oh, Jesus, Coleman, please. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You could add another movie, which many call a classic, to the list of movies and television shows that some people want canceled. They don't want networks to show them anymore. Or they want some sort of precursor before the movie starts, some sort of warning to watch out for. I mean, we've talked about this before on the show, the classic movie Gone with the Wind. There's a lot of people out there, the cancel culture, they want that movie canceled. That is an American classic, but they want it canceled because it says it makes the slaves look happy in that movie. We've talked about recently how some people want the television shows, the reruns of Seinfeld and Friends, to be canceled because there were some jokes that were told on those shows that today look very racist and very politically incorrect. And we've talked about those. And there's a bunch of movies that they either want canceled or they want some sort of warning to be shown before they show the movie. You know what movie you can add to that list?
I got chills, they're multiplying.
Grease!
And I'm losing control.
I just read an interview with Olivia Newton-John. It's electrifying. How amazing did she look in that last scene in that movie with the leather pants? They said that she had to be sewn into those. That's what they said. Evidently, the movie Grease was shown on the BBC around Christmas time, this past Christmas. And a bunch of people complained about it because they said it basically promotes date rape. Remember the scene, if you've seen Grease, where they're in the drive-in movie and John Travolta's character, he hits on Sandy? You know, he tries to kiss her. I mean, that's what people do in movies. Well, evidently, some people thought that was glamorizing date rape, and they say that movie should either be canceled or say it needs some sort of warning that comes up before the movie starts. What you're about to see shows things that don't happen anymore, or so, they're wrong for happening.
So the movie is probably maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours, something in between that time, and they want to delete the whole movie just because of one scene?
Well, they're calling it sexist and misogynist.
Because of that one, they're going to take it all the way down just because of one scene instead of taking the movie in as a whole.
Well, that was the one big thing. There was a couple of other things as well, Coleman. But they I just read an interview with Olivia Newton-John, who played Sandy. And she's 72 years old right now. And they asked her about it, about Grease being called sexist and misogynist, and that Grease should have a warning before it or be canceled altogether. She said, quote, "I think it's kind of silly. I mean, this movie was made in the 1970s about the 1950s. You know, and that's what people have to remember. There are a bunch of people that want to rename the airport in Orange County, California. It's been called John Wayne Airport for a long time after the movie star. But people have been fighting to get that airport renamed because John Wayne in the early 70s did an interview with Playboy and said some things that could be looked at as racist. But you got to remember something. John Wayne was born in 1907. He was born in 1907. People were different then. Life times were different then.
Right, and that's the thing. You want to keep how life was back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s relevant so we can see how it used to be and learn from our past. I don't think it's fair to hold people that in movies and music made in the 70s and 60s to the 2021 standard. It wouldn't be fair.
Here's what one tweeter said, quote, "The drive-in / botched makeout session between Danny and Sandy hasn't aged well. Film kind of glides right into the song Sandy before viewers register the date rapey vibe of the scene they just saw. # Grease." Another Twitter user said, "Oh man, just watching # Grease, one of my favorite films, and it's so of its time. Misogynistic, sexist, and a bit rapey." And then someone said on Twitter, "There was no black actors or pupils at the high school." So now they're saying it should be canceled because there's no black people in it. And Olivia Newton-John pointed out, "It was a stage play. It's a musical. It's fun. It's a fun movie musical, not to be taken so seriously." This is what people do when they sit around and they watch things on television. Everybody's got their cell phone. They go right to social media. They go right to Twitter, and they're sitting on their couches and they just bitch, bitch, bitch. Let's cancel it. Remember when things were made, when people were born, you know, life was different. That movie came out in 1978. And again, it was a movie about the 1950s. Coming up next, got some notes. Sunday Super Bowl. We will tell you what the NFL and a lot of people are asking Kansas City Chiefs fans not to do. And we'll have a peek at our King of the Bayou and all our football challenge. It all comes to an end on Sunday. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. Oh, and what Tom Brady said to one of his teammates who cried after winning the NFC Championship game because he was so excited to go to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady wasn't happy about that. It's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we're 2 days away from Super Bowl 55. And no, that's not how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has played in, but it's pretty close. As Tom Brady leads his new team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, into their own home stadium, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, this Sunday, as the first team to ever play a Super Bowl in their home stadium. You know, that should have been the Saints. They got screwed a few years back. Remember that? And the Kansas City Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite over Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tom Brady after he led Tampa Bay to a victory over the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game, right at the end of that game, right after that game ended, he saw one of his teammates on Tampa Bay crying because he was so happy that he made it to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady got in that teammate's face and he cursed him out. He said, "Stop it. We still got one more game to win. You can't cry now." How about that? I mean, because most guys who get to the NFL, they'll never make it to a Super Bowl. Most players will never make it to a Super Bowl. So there's one guy on Tampa Bay, he started crying. He said, "Oh, my God, I can't believe I made it to Super Bowl." Brady saw that and got in his face and said, and he cursed him out.
"Piss, please."
But that goes to show you the winning mentality that Tom Brady yes. has. That sets him apart from most people. Here's this one guy who didn't even think. He's in the NFL. The NFL, your whole goal is to make it to the big game, to the championship. But he was so ecstatic that he was actually going. Like even the player whose goal is to get there couldn't believe that he was getting there, even though that's what you're working towards the entire season.
But Tom Brady's been there so much, he's like, "This isn't the time to cry. Stop it." And he cursed me. He used some words I can't use here on the radio show. You know, he's always been like that. And you never know, like when you see interviews with Tom Brady, or he always looks like the boy next door, the wholesome, you know, the mama's boy. But you know who was like that? But when he's on the field and the cameras aren't on him and somebody does something wrong, oh, he rips you. He'll rip his teammates another one. You know who was like that? Troy Aikman was like that.
All right, Troy Aikman.
I mean, he was another one that you would never think, but there's some video of him getting in teammates' faces for messing up, and I mean, he goes up one side of them and down the other, and Aikman won 3 Super Bowls. That's something I guess you got to have inside you. You know, I couldn't imagine Drew Brees doing that. I've never heard or seen Drew Brees in his career cursing out his own teammates for screwing up, going up one side of them, down the other, getting in their faces.
That's probably why he hasn't made it there as much as Tom Brady.
He's only gotten there once and won once. That's still more than most. But I got a kick out of that. One of his teammates on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was crying after they won the NFC Championship because he was so excited to go to Zuma. And Brady cursed him out. He got in his face. "No! What's the matter with you? We still got one more." Meanwhile, Coleman, the NFL and some other people are putting Kansas City Chiefs fans under pressure to not do the tomahawk chop celebration that they do. This drives some people crazy. Where the Chiefs fans will take their arm and they'll just, it's like they're chopping. They're going up and down.
Yeah. Like, and you're holding a tomahawk.
Yeah. There are people that they're telling in the NFL they do not want to see Kansas City Chiefs doing that this Sunday. I guess it's a good thing there's only going to be, 20,000 people in the crowd because of coronavirus. And I don't know how many of them are going to be doing the tomahawk chop. In baseball, the Atlanta Braves fans have been doing that, playing that same song for years, doing the same tomahawk chop, and it drives some people crazy. They say that it's racist. Is it really racist?
See,
I mean, if they started going, I mean, I don't know.
All right.
But then again, how many times have you heard me say on this show that nothing offends me? Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I need to start getting offended more.
So we're at the point now where bodily gestures are now considered racist, like doing something with your butt. So basically taking your hand and waving it up and down to simulate the chopping of a tomahawk is now racist. That can be an easy sell. Just say, "Well, no, I'm not doing a tomahawk chalk. I'm doing a karate chop, or I'm doing a jujitsu slam, or a G.I. Joe kung fu grip, or I'm doing a hammer time. They can make up any, like, this hand gesture going up and down.
But everybody knows what it is, Coleman.
So what? But that's stupid how we're at a point now where doing something with your actual physical body is now considered racist.
While pressure is mounting for the Super Bowl bound and the defending Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, to abandon the popular tradition in which their fans break into a war chant while making a chopping hand motion designed to mimic the Native American tomahawk. Local groups have long argued that the team's chop tradition and even its name itself, the Chiefs, we don't know how long they're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, because some people say, much like the Cleveland Indians, they're going to get rid of their name. The Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of people, they say that's racist, and they want them to get rid of that name. So, they say it's derogatory to the American Indian.
So what are they going to call the police chief of police organizations? Is the word chief in itself racist? Because it's a ranking. It's not, the word chief is not a race. It's a rank, like general, colonel, chief, coach, boss.
Well, if you ever saw any city or town's police chief walking down the street doing the tomahawk chop and maybe listening to that song, then maybe they would be on the song.
So we can't say the pharaoh anymore. We can't say czar. We can't say sensei, because these are all titles from other countries and other cultures.
A coalition of Native American groups has put up billboards in the Kansas City area to protest the tomahawk chop and the Chiefs' name. And there's going to be a protest outside Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, where they're playing the game on Sunday. And the coalition has hired an airplane to fly around the area. A few thousand people have signed on to two online petitions. One of them started by a fourth grader. A fourth grader started one of these petitions. So do you think that fourth grader thought, boy, this is wrong? Or do you think that fourth grader's parents or teacher or somebody got into that fourth grader's head to say, hey, go online and start a petition to say the tomahawk chop and the Kansas City Chiefs name need to go?
Screw that fourth
grader. Really, a fourth grader?
If I had enough money to hire a pilot to fly an airplane over the airspace of a football game to protest something, I wouldn't get that angry. Like, think about the effort that they put into this. You have all these resources and you're just upset about a team name in a hand gesture that you hire a pilot in an airplane to fly around for a few hours?
You know, with the advent of the internet, yeah. Coleman, I'm convinced there's a percentage of people, I don't know the exact number of percent, but there's a percentage of people that they're just mad and offended by pretty much, they just want to get mad at everything they possibly can. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs did make some changes at the beginning of this past football season. They barred headdresses and war paint because they let some fans in the stadium this year, but I guess in past years, a bunch of Kansas City Chiefs fans would wear the headdresses and they would wear the war paint, the face mm-hmm. paint on their face. And I guess that's, what do they call that? Cultural
appropriation.
Yeah. It's not appropriate.
And then like 10 years from now, they're going to say, how come there's no representation of Native Americans in major sports? It's like, because when we tried to have representation, y'all took it away from them, even though they was honoring the Native American warrior spirit. That's really what the Chiefs are all about. That's really what the Atlanta Braves are all about. They were honoring the warrior spirit of the Native American. Now we can't even honor a culture without saying, oh, we're appropriating it.
Yeah, Coleman. And I think, I always thought that imitation was the biggest form of flattery.
And this is homage. It's not even an imitation. This is an homage to a culture. Like, hey, the Braves, the Chiefs, you know, these are high standard, you know, high-ranking Native American titles. So it's really giving honor.
They still don't know what they're going to call the Cleveland Indians coming up. They got to get rid of that name. They got rid of the smiling Chief Wahoo Indian face logo that was very popular. That's gone. Now they got to get rid of their whole name.
Maybe the Cleveland Samurai, the Cleveland Ninjas.
Well, there are people that want the Kansas City Chiefs to be renamed. They don't want the Chiefs to be their name. And there are people who do not want to see the tomahawk chop, and they don't want to hear the drums, and they don't want to, they say that it's racist against Native Americans, the American Indians. And, oh, and by the way, I think it's going to be a great game on Sunday, and I think you got to be crazy to bet against Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. I think he's been proving that. Although, to be honest with you, I think the Chiefs are going to win. Are they going to win by more than 3.5 points? I don't know. They may very well win by a field goal, 3 points, meaning if you bet on Tampa Bay, you'll still win the bet even if they only lose by 3 points because the spread is 3.5. But I mean, you know, you're talking about the GOAT, Tom Brady, against the baby GOAT, Patrick Mahomes, because no quarterback right now in the NFL is better than Patrick Mahomes. None.
This is the passing of the torch game, in my opinion. I'm betting against Tom Brady. On a King of the Bayou football challenge, I went with Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going with Kansas City, too, on the King of the Bayou football challenge. And this is this Sunday. It's the last week. And because if you pick the winner in the King of the Bayou football challenge, if you've been in it all year, and you pick the winner, you get 16 points.
Yes.
So there are still a bunch of people who could win the grand prize, the 65-inch smart television, the autographed Saints Cam Jordan jersey, more free groceries from Winn-Dixie. That's all going down this Sunday, and there's still a lot of people who could win that because 16 points goes to the winner. And then they make you this week write down a score, too, because if there's a tie, whoever comes closest with the score will win. There are still a lot of people who can win the King of the Bayou football challenge because 16 points goes to you if you pick the winning team this Sunday.
And guess what, John? And we still have a weekly winner. So there's actually going to be two winners. Even if you decide to, if you never played the King of the Bayou football challenge all season, if you get in right now, you can still win a $50 gift card. They're still giving that away. So there's going to be the grand prize winner who stayed throughout the whole season and has the most points. And there's going to still be the traditional weekly winner who can get a $50 gift card from Winn-Dixie.
So if you're not in and haven't been in the King of the Bayou football challenge, you can go to our website. And you could register. It's free. It don't cost nothing. It only takes a second. And you could get lucky and win $50 worth of free groceries. So go sign up now, or when you get a second, go to our website. And when you go to our website, click on the box where I'm dressed like Elvis, and it says King of the Bayou Football Challenge. And even if you haven't been in it all year, maybe you could win $50 worth of free groceries from Winn-Dixie. Go do that when you get a second on our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So do you remember on January 6th when a couple of hundred people stormed the United States Capitol building? Remember that? The insurrection. And the guy who, in my opinion, was the face of that was the shirtless guy who wore the hat, that the fur hat that had horns sticking out the side. Remember we talked about him after? He's an unemployed actor who's in his 30s and lives with his mother. Well, he complained that while he was in jail, he went on a hunger strike because he said he only eats organic food. That's something for an out-of-work 30-something-year-old who lives with his mother. He only eats organic food. He took them to court while he was in jail, and a judge just ordered that he will be able to eat organic food in jail. They're letting that nut. Oh, well, you got to be careful with people with mental illness in the year 2021. But they're letting that guy, his name is Jacob Chansley. Hornhead. The guy with the horn sticking out the side of his head. They're letting him eat organic food in jail? What if other prisoners start demanding things like that?
Oh, I mean, they are. It's coming. It's coming. We'll just watch.
That's crazy. This is the end of the world as I know it. Letting him have organic food in jail. And then meanwhile, quickly in Washington, D.C., a couple of things just recently happened. You have the congresswoman from New York City, the Democratic Socialist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said on that day, January 6th, when people were storming the Capitol, she said she thought she was going to die. She had to hide in her bathroom, in her office, and she thought she was going to die. She said people were screaming, where is she? Where is she? Come to find out that none of that is true because she wasn't even in the Capitol building that they stormed. Her office was in a building across the street. So now she's being called out for lying about that. And that's incredible. She said she thought she was going to die. She said she feared for her life. But there was nobody in her building. They didn't storm her building. They didn't storm her office floor. And so she's got some splaining to do. Boy, the more I think about what happens in Washington, D.C., the bigger my headache aches. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing that I read all morning. And I don't know if you send this to your Valentine, if she's really going to like it. Stay tuned for that next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all, well, since today's Friday. It's the dumbest thing I read all week. Hey, love notes aren't just for little candy hearts anymore. You can now send chicken sandwiches. Embossed with custom love notes for Valentine's Day. How about that? Now you can tell someone you love them with fried chicken sandwiches. America's obsession with fried chicken sandwiches has officially reached its peak. Now that American Express, Uber Eats, and Coleman, how do you say the name of this on this radio show? F-U-K-U.
Fuku.
Okay. They've teamed up to debut gold-dusted spicy chicken sandwiches featuring buns embossed with sweet sentiments, sweet messages like be mine, I love you, XOXOXO, things like that. It's the Rose Gold Meal, as it's called. And it's celebrating the return of American Express's Rose Gold Card design and its new $120 Uber cash benefit for Gold Card members. But you don't need one to order the flashy chicken sandwiches. So now, I mean, many people give their Valentines candy hearts that have the little sweet messages on them. Now you can give your Valentines chicken sandwiches with the sweet messages on the chicken sandwich.
I'm going to have to dissent. I think this is the most awesome thing that we've read or seen all day. I think this is a good idea. I don't think there's anything dumb about this. You get chicken for Valentine's Day? How's that even dumb or stupid or bad? This is awesome.
Well, Coleman,
I'm excited about the news.
Coleman, most guys, if they were going to give the woman in their life their Valentine, if they were going to give them a chicken sandwich that had I love you or be mine or I'm yours on it, that was in emboldened on there, you think the You think the woman would like that?
Yes. New Orleans women? Yes. Dude, I've seen so many memes of women saying, I don't want flowers for Valentine's Day. I want crawfish. I don't want flowers and chocolates for Valentine's Day. I want some crabs or some turkey necks. So I think here in New Orleans, yes, this is good to go. I think they would love a chicken sandwich with Be Mine written on the bread or whatever it is here in the South.
Well, the chicken sandwich is courtesy of celebrity chef David Chang's fried chicken chain, F-U-K-U.
Fuku.
Feature rose gold-dusted habanero brined pieces of fried chicken sandwich affectionately between branded potato buns with one of the custom love notes that says either I'm yours, be mine, or XOXO. So you're on record saying that if a man gives his Valentine, gives his woman a chicken sandwich with one of these messages that's on top of the sandwich, it's emblazoned in there. It's like tattooed on there. So it's not a Valentine heart. It's a Valentine chicken.
I think women would love it. I think unless she's a vegetarian or vegan. Well, then chicken is really poultry. So even if she was a vegan, you could still eat chicken. Yeah, I think women would love stuff like that. Along with the chocolates, though. Don't get me wrong. Not instead of the chocolates, but as like the chicken sandwich with the chocolates and flowers. I think that'll be a gold star. Getting you something that night.
Well, we've always had Valentine's chocolates. We've always had Valentine's candies with the little sayings on them. Now, you can give your Valentine a Valentine chicken. How about that with the I love you message on there? That's the, that was the dumbest thing I read all week. Valentine chicken. Be my Valentine. Here. Have a thigh. On Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only. Classic rock station.